broadcast or podcast with written permission from SVN. For podcasts and more information, visit our websites, switchonradio.org and primaryperspectives.info.
Naughty 4.1 FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie, hoy!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome to 94.1 FM, 3WBC. We're back again for another episode of VFL Rewind. Can't wait for tonight. Big show plan. We've got our three awesome special guests tonight. We've got a man who should have been on last week, Lashy, but we'll have to talk to him a little bit later on. He was sadly at a funeral and he forgot to put his phone back on off silent. So we were trying to call him and he couldn't answer, but he's back this week, Frank Johnson. So I'll just quickly go through. We've got three special guests. Ann Petroulis from Flicker of Hope, doing great things in the community in the VFL. Jake Lohman and Frankie Johnson. I'm Brad Mullen, your host. And as per usual, I'm joined by the great man, Peter Lash. Lashy, welcome to VFL Rewind. We're back again.
Yeah, no, it's good. Good to be back and looking forward to this week because a little bit of travel involved for the commentary team as well. On Sunday, we head down to the beautiful part of Victoria, South Gippsland, the one Thaggy Recreational Reserve as well, to see Box Hill Sandringham, call the game, both. And the Southern Saints and the Box Hill women's team are playing down there as well, so it's going to be a good double header.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge day down there. We actually did try to get someone from the Wong and Thaggy Council, but they didn't return our call, so we're going to pump up the big day. But we can't, unfortunately. But it's going to be a huge day down there for the community of Gippsland. It's not much VFL footy down there in Gippsland, really. It's the only one day a year. Good on Box Hill for having the courage to say, we'll give up a game a year to go down there. And they're doing a good job down there. I know last year was a huge success. They had a few thousand people down there. So big tick, Sandy, this year. It'll be a really good game.
Yeah, no, excited for the trip down there. And hopefully we get some really good weather as well. But that's next week. We'll talk about this week.
So we've got a few things on the agenda tonight. So what we'll do, we'll firstly go through all the scores pretty quickly.
Yep.
And we've got a few things. We've got to do Piranha Player of the Month. We've got a few other announcements as well we've got to go through. So let's get stuck straight into the VFL men's scores, Lash.
I'll do the first four or five. The first game was up at Southport, and the Southport Sharks had a 27-point win up there, 101-74 against Collingwood. The next game was down here at Piranha Park in Coburg, and the Richmond Tigers prevailed by 32 points over Coburg, 93-61. Werribee down at Avalon Airport Oval had a 32-point win against the Carlton VFL side, 94-62. And at Preston, it was a close game until three-quarter time, and then Port's experience just got them over the line. They had a 34-point win there, 98-64. And the last game I'll do before you take over is the game up at the SCG at 5:15 p.m. on Saturday evening between the Giants and the Swans. The Swans won that by 10 points, 85-75.
Just want to quickly go back to a few observations, Lashy, from those games. Observation number one, Southport Sharks jumper was an absolute ripper.
Yep, beautiful.
Indigenous jumper with a nice shark on it.
Cameron Smith, Stephen Daniel.
Steve Daniel. If we have to send our details to purchase one of them, we'd love to purchase one of them. One of my favourite VFL jumpers. It's been my number one favourite Indigenous jumper I've seen. It was a great design.
Steve Daniel's my favourite VFL coach.
He is. He's always been in my top three. Hopefully that puts us in good stead. Hopefully you can be able to sell us one because I know Southport, they're very, very guarded with their jumpers. But hopefully they look after us and be able to sell us one. I did go and watch the first quarter at Coburg Richmond. Good crowd. Great to see the great man Steph Romeo there on the terraces. Now, he was getting up and about. He's a loyal Coburg man.
Yeah.
Now, it's good to see him down there. He stuck through Coburg thick and thin.
Did he have his Herbalife shake with kale?
He didn't. He was dressed very well. He had his nice Coburg. I think he actually had a chat to me and he went and got a coffee. So I did miss the second part to a conversation with him, but it was good to see Steph Steph down there on Saturday.
Yeah.
Good crowd at Coburg.
Yeah, and we know if Steph's around, James West isn't too far away. James West would have been loitering around the terraces at Piranha Park as well.
There's some good supporters down there. And I just want to mention as well, well done to Coburg Football Club. Yeah. Best, we'll give this award out, best grazing board in the VFL. They put on this meter, probably 2 meters long of just absolute stuff you'd go in a food coma with. It was absolutely phenomenal.
What was that for? Can we?
A ladies' day, Lausche. Oh. Ladies' day. Every ladies' day, they put on an amazing spread of food down there. And I wish I could go to that event. I'm kind of jealous of some of the ladies who get to go to that because I reckon I'd pig out. But it's a ladies' day, so ladies only.
Yeah.
They do a really good job down there, Coburg. So I reckon they've probably got the best ladies' day in the VFL by a country mile.
Fantastic to hear.
Yeah, and what else we got to talk about quickly? Yeah, went to Preston, 150, 200 people there, yep. Ex-players. The yep. great Jamie Shaw was there,
yep.
Peter Waitman, all the greats, Harold Martin.
Shane Hollis,
yeah, all yeah. the greats were there.
And how about the most important man in the city of Darabin?
Wag?
Wag, yeah.
He was there. Yeah, now, I've got a good mention.
Was he up and about?
So I got to the ground. This yep. is talk about VIP service, Lausche. I felt like a VIP. Mm-hmm. I walked in. I got to the gate. Wag served me on the gate.
Ooh.
Fair dinkum. He served me on the gate. This is what happened. He goes, Bradley, he goes, I will walk you to the president's luncheon. So I got a chauffeur walk to the yeah. president's luncheon. I was a VIP from the great man.
Yeah.
He walked me in. He introduced me around. Then he went back to the gate. Now he's probably the most hands-on VFL man, VFL president I know, Wag. He's an now, absolute ripper.
And what did you have for lunch there?
I did not eat, Lausche. Oh. I abstained from eating. Yeah. I did not eat, so but I did check everything out. They had $6 hamburgers, $4 yeah. snacks, and they had a good range of hot dogs and pies and all.
What
all
did the other people in the luncheon eat? What was an offer?
There was no luncheon, Lausche. Oh. There was no luncheon, so it was a stand-up function. They had, I think finger food and that. So
beautiful.
Yeah, so it was a good 150 people. It's hard to feed 150 people in a sit-down function, so... Okay. Well done to Northern Bullants. It was a ripper day. Just wanted to make note of that. Great to see all the past players. And I'll quickly go through the last few. Sydney Swans, 85, defeated GWS, 75. Footscray, 73, defeated Box Hill, 60. That was a big win, that one.
Good one for the Doggies, yep.
Yeah, this is a massive win, Lausche. Gold Coast, 157 to Brisbane, 71.
Yes, margin surprised me, no doubt. Who were the goal kickers there? That's the
Play kick five. I did notice that, and I was pretty Farrah. Your man Farrah kicked five.
Northern Territory.
Thomas kicked four.
Yep.
Day kicked four as well. So there's a few multiple goal kickers, and Casbolt was pretty quiet actually. So thought he might have been the one in the multiples. But next one we had was Geelong Frankston. Geelong. Dominate them, to be honest, 113-49. And if you want to do the last couple of hours, you'll finish it out.
Yeah, Sandringham won a close one against North Melbourne at Trevor Barker Beach Oval on Sunday, 99-96. Supposedly they only won that in the last 5 or 10 minutes. And Williamstown had a comfortable 32-point win against Casey.
Oh, I wouldn't call it comfortable, Lausche.
Oh, I'd call it comfortable.
I'll tell you why. At three-quarter time, Casey were up by a goal. And in the last quarter, Williamstown, they kicked...
8 goals, 4.
They absolutely dominated in the last quarter, and Casey only kicked 2. So at three-quarter time, I thought the goals were in trouble. So big win.
One former CEO at Williamstown will be happy.
Caseygate.
Casey Field was his favourite ground, I believe. So
always a great ground down at Casey. They love going there.
Now, we'll do the VFL.
Yeah, let's go through the VFLW.
Now... this game between Darabin and Port Melbourne at Preston, that was the Coon Razor to the Northern Bull Ants. Preston game in the men's. Close game, well done to the Falcons. They still haven't cracked it for the 4 points, but they got within 8 points of the Port Melbourne Football Club, 3-5-23 to 2-3-15. The Collingwood, who did they play at Tramway? Was that the Swans?
That was the Swans Invitational.
Yeah, Collingwood actually had a win. So that is a good
sign. Big win for the Pies.
Pies by 2 points.
Sydney have been good in the VFLW.
2 points there. Another close game at Icon Park between the Blues and the Cats, 33-30. Another close game at Trevor Barker between the two sides. And this time it was reversed. North Melbourne 24, the Southern Saints 23. And Williamstown for the second time this year had a draw, this time against Casey, 41 apiece. And GWS took care of the Essendon Football Club up at Blacktown International Sports Park, 55-8. and the Bulldogs. Now, they would have to be the big improvers in the VFL this year. I went a year early last year because of the year before they didn't win anything in 22. They won three games in 23. They've won four games now in the first seven. So
they're doing really well. Now, one observation I want to make. Poor Melbourne, the Premier is really struggling.
Yeah, they lost three in a row. They at least got across the line against Darabin. So, but
I'd retract that. They're not really struggling. They're not what they were last year in terms of their dominance. And
yeah, well,
4-3. They're probably going to make the top six.
Let's wait and see what the Bulldogs and the Hawks and those teams that are playing AFLW players when they have to.
Yeah, that's a fair point. If they do make the top four and Sydney pull the plug, yeah, obviously, and a few others pull the plug, they might be the team to beat. But yeah, at the moment, yeah, they're a little bit down of where
shaky,
I expected.
A little bit shaky.
Now, we've got a few housekeeping things to go through. Now, first housekeeping, this is a big one. I'm really excited about this one.
Yep.
So on VFL Rewind, we have our Facebook page. Now, going to have a bit of fun through the night. I think we'll get there, Lowshy. I think we'll get there through the night. We are currently sitting on 4,991 followers as it sits, Lowshy. Our loyal listeners, I reckon we've got at least 9 loyal listeners who aren't following the page, who are listening right now, who will get us across the line, Lowshy.
Yep.
So call out to anyone who's listening to our show who doesn't follow. Get us across the line while the show's on. We've got 50 minutes, 45 minutes. Give our page a follow. Get us to 5,000. We'll celebrate at the end of the show. I'm putting it on everyone. Please do us a favor. Go and like our page. So,
well, if you're the 5,000th person, we'll give you a bag of piranha chips.
Yes, that would be great. That'd be absolutely fantastic. We want to get to the five. So, little housekeeping there. And the second housekeeping, talking about piranha chips.
Yep.
With thanks to Piranha Snacks, our great station sponsor, they're back again for 2024 for our Player of the Month, Lowshy. So we're back again for the VFL Rewind Player of the Month.
Yeah, we agreed on the player and we weren't that far off with our
votes. Our votes were very similar. I'll do my votes first. I'll get it away and get it up and going. I had Hardy from Geelong for one vote. He's been very good for Geelong. Yep. Two votes, great man. Dom Brew had a lot of tackles, a lot of disposals as well. He's probably unlucky not to get the three.
Yep.
And for three, I had, can't go past this man, Ethan Phillips. He's absolutely dominating at VFL level. A lot of disposals, a lot of marks as well. So he gets my three votes, Lowshy.
Before I give you my three votes, Robbo's just said it and goes, we've got 5,001 followers.
There we go. We've done it, geez. We've got 9 likes in about what's that, 2 minutes. Yeah, wowee. So,
but if I look at who the 5,000th was there.
Very good. Thank you to all our loyal listeners. We had 9 in, that's amazing. We don't know how many people are listening, Lowshy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Robbo's probably got 9 different Facebook accounts. probably joined them 9 times.
So there we go. Congratulations. We're on 5,000 followers on VFR Rewind on Facebook. So thank you to all to our loyal followers who follow us on there.
It's probably Marcel from Mornington or somebody who's won it.
Now, you've got to do your votes, Lowshy, for the Player of the Month.
My one vote went to one of the Southport recruits for this year, Ben Jepson, ex-Coburg.
Yep, he's been good.
He's been solid for Southport in a good side. It's easy for a player who's dominated in a side that's struggled over a couple of years to stand out, but he's walked into a quality side like Southport and has continued on his merry way. My two votes went to Ethan Phillips of Box Hill.
Yep.
And my three votes went to a AFL debutant this week, Charlie Clark.
Charlie Clark, there we go. I just had a notification. So just quickly, I've had a notification from someone else who's just told me we've hit 5,000 as well, the great George from Altona Meadows. So there we go. We've just hit the 5K in the last 30 seconds or so. Okay, two, three minutes. Okay, so amazing.
Let's see if we can get to 5,100 by
7:30. That might be a stretch, but that's amazing we got 9. So, well done to everyone, all our loyal listeners who have texted through and let us know that we've hit the 5K. So there we go. Well done for that one. But for our VFL Rewind Player of the Month, thanks to Piranha Snacks, the winner is
Ethan Phillips, Box Hill Hawks.
Ethan Phillips, there we go. Congratulations, Ethan. You've had a great month. We'll probably get them snacks here this week, actually. We hope we don't give them to you this week because I hope you're playing AFL and we don't see you.
Yeah.
So, hopefully we have to make a bit of an effort to catch up with Ethan. But, congratulations. We're going to Piranha prize pack with some nice chips and that. So, yeah, congratulations to Ethan on that one. Yeah, the good little award. We have to thank Piranha for coming back on board for that one because I know the players appreciate it. I know you've given some out last year. I've given a few out, and yeah, they always enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I remember last year walking into the Bulldogs room when they defeated Box Hill at Box Hill, and Lachie Sullivan was our winner that month. And look where he's ended up now. He's played his first AFL game at the Collingwood Football Club. I think first kick, first goal, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So, yeah, joining the illustrious club.
Up there. So, you know, well done to Lachie on that. Hopefully he can now cement his spot in that Collingwood
side. Yeah, we hope.
And we hope the same for Ethan Phillips when the time comes that he gets into that Hawthorn side and retains his spot, or at least is given a fair 4 to 6 weeks to get used to the speed of AFL football. Because as we all know, there's a huge difference between VFL and AFL when it comes to the speed of the game.
Oh, definitely. And that's a big thing. Charlie, probably the worst week to make his debut in a loss. So hopefully he keeps his spot.
Yeah. Did they actually even had him as a sub, didn't they?
That's a good question. I think they did. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't.
I'm not a fan of that, Lashie.
I'm not a fan, but at the same time, a debut is a debut. But I would prefer youngsters like Charlie or even 26-year-olds like Lachie Sullivan probably to, when they get their debut, they actually get to start on the ground, even if it's in the forward pocket to hide them to get the heat out of the game.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you 100% on that one. We're going to go to a break now, though. I'm going to be back to talk up a really big event that's going to be at Port Martin Football Club. It's an annual event. It's at North Port Oval each year. And it's going to be the Flicker of Hope. They have their big event. Peter Dacos, all the big names are going to be there. Dipper, Peter Dacos. We'll have to find out all the big names.
I'm excited, mate. Are you?
Yeah, I can't wait, actually. It's going to be a great little promotion they do each year. They have a great day down there. So we're going to talk to one of the directors and patrols after the break. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM. 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Oi!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC.
On the outside, champagne toast followed by cucumber sandwiches my way, 23rd Psalm, then red roses. Further back, Devonshire 2, Eulogy and pre-planning. Champagne toast has taken the lead, kicks away. It's out in front, 200 metres to go. Tobin Brothers celebrating lives. Tobin Brothers celebrating lives flying.
Thanks, Brian. For the final weigh-in in life, how would you like to be celebrated? Find out more at tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Tobin Brothers Funerals are a 3WBC.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM 3WBC. We're at the point of our first special guest of the evening. And as I mentioned, Lashie, it's always a big day down there at Port Melbourne Football Club, the annual event with Flicker of Hope. And this year it's back again, which is absolutely fantastic. And to talk up the day and just a little bit of an insight of what goes on, we always, as we know, Lashie, we're always passionate about any event that's involved with the VFL club. And, you know, we always want to promote as much as we can, especially when it's a good community organisation like Flicker of Hope. And we have the director, Ann Petroulis, on the line, who's been good enough to join us to talk a little bit about the day. And welcome to VFL Rewind, and thanks for joining us.
A pleasure.
Ann, can you tell us a little bit about Flicker of Hope for people a little bit undereducated like me? Can you tell us a little bit about Flicker of Hope and what its mission is and what it does?
A Flicker of Hope is a foundation that myself and my family set up about 4.5, 5 years ago to look at raising money for research into a medical condition called neurofibromatosis. It's little known, most people have never heard of it, and yet there's over 10,000 Australians living with it. It's a condition that you're born with, you live with, and you eventually die with. At the moment, there's very few treatments. There's certainly not a cure. It's a chromosomal disorder.
And no doubt, Port Melbourne Football Club's got right behind the day. And what can the people who attend the game this weekend expect from the foundation? What's your aim on the day to achieve down at Port Melbourne?
Okay, so on the day, it's an event that we call Kick Butt for Research. We have a huge prop of a cartoon character, not unlike Bart Simpson, where he's basically turning around, pointing to the pocket on his little football shorts, basically saying, kick me, and that's the target. Now, to raise the money, what we do is get a number of sponsors that sign up to sponsor a football player. And so then we went out and we found a pile of football players, most of them past players, that were prepared to participate. And they take it in turn at kicking at this target until eventually someone hits the target.
That's awesome. And can you tell us a little bit about some of the famous people that come down? Obviously, I know Peter Dacos is a great advocate of a Flicker of Hope. Yeah, tell us a little bit about some of the people that will be down on the day.
Okay, well, we've got five football ambassadors. Three of them are Peter Dacos, Anthony Stevens and Dipper. And then they'll be there kicking. And then also Josh and Nick Dacos are our ambassadors as well. Then, because this year, the amount of money that we have to actually raise for the research project we've taken on is $500,000.
Wow.
So we've really hit for a lot of sponsors. And most of them have actually come through my husband's company, which is Delta Group. They've got on board. They know the story. They know how hard it is for a person that's got this condition. So they've come up with the sponsorship. So then I've had to come up with the players. So the players include Daisy Thomas, Matthew Richardson, Luke Ball, Cam Zerha and Nick Larkey, who are both current, Mark McClure, Gary Lyon, Paul DiMatina, Ben Johnson, Hamish McIntosh, Simon Madden, Rod Grinter. Do you want me to keep going?
Wow. Yeah,
keep going. These are some great names.
It's amazing.
Dane Swan, Michael Ferrito, Shane Wakeland, Kane Pettifer, Jim Buckley, Robbie Tarrant, Martin Pike, Ben Holland, Heath Shaw, Paul Salmon, Zane Cordy, and Jack Higgins.
Wow. And you're telling me most of these people, or not all of them, but some of these people will be down on Wednesday for the day.
They will all be there.
Wow, that's huge. That's some big names there. That's amazing for anyone who...
And we've also got two masked kickers.
Oh, wow.
And that's because we ended up with so many sponsors that I didn't have enough players. And also, if one of the players is unable for some reason to get there in time, or I know that there's a couple that have got some injuries, David Rees-Jones is going to be there, but he can't kick. So the person that he's sponsoring will have a masked kicker kick for him.
That's a fantastic idea. I tell you what, Anne, amazing to get all those names, even if, say, one or two do happen to miss. But amazing work by yourself and the Delta Group and the other sponsors that are involved to get those type of names involved. Like, it brings back memories for me in 80s and early 90s, some of those names, and showing my age there, but some of those players were absolute superstars, and when you still see them, even though they are in their 50s and 60s, some of them have kept themselves in very, very good shape,
and some of them haven't, but it's all kind of fun.
Yeah,
like, we've actually ordered, they get their own football jumper, a Flicker of Hope football jumper.
Yep.
Awesome.
And, the sizes that we had to order were quite interesting.
Well, have you actually thought about auctioning those off then?
They have been a couple of times.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do this year is, after the event, if people want to come up and buy one, they can.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
When all the kicking's been done, then the players will go out and spend maybe 15 minutes signing some autographs.
Yep.
We're hoping to get a big crowd down there. I know it's not school holidays. It might work against us.
Mm.
And then we actually have a dinner afterwards for the sponsors and the players. And we have a few speeches explain what's happening with regards to the research. Because a lot of these sponsors and players, this is their fourth year.
Yeah.
Like, they keep coming back. They understand what the condition is.
Yeah.
They understand how desperate we are to get research.
That's absolutely fantastic. I firstly want to say well done to you for firstly being able to attain all the names. And obviously, as you mentioned, there's a lunch, a dinner afterwards, should I say. So doing some really great things. For the question for myself, obviously, I like others, as you said, a lot of people don't know about Flicker of Hope and what they do. But for the person on the street who's listening to their to our show, how can they get involved with all this? Like, is the best thing to do just turn up on the day and just come down and support the event? Is that probably the best way to support?
Turn up on the day. It's a free event. We will have a stall there selling some merchandise. We've just got a pile of beanies in.
Well, awesome. I'll buy a beanie. There we go. I'll buy a beanie, Laoshi.
And our colours are black, orange and white, so they're quite distinctive. We're selling hoodies, we're selling beanies. We'll have a few people walking around with buckets just to take any cash donations. And then they can always look up our website or social media if there's someone that feels that they'd really like to make a donation to the foundation.
What I would point out,
where we are different to most charities, 100% of the donation goes to the research.
That's fantastic.
So if you gave me $100, that $100 goes to the research because Delta covers all costs.
That's fantastic. We don't hear many charities or research groups do that. Would you like to give the Facebook page and the website a plug for people who can't attend but are wanting to make a donation or buy merchandise?
Yeah, look, the best place is probably the website, which is Flicker of Hope, www.flickerofhope.org.au.
Yep.
And if they go on to that, there will be links that take them to the social media sites. There will be links that take them to merchandise, and there will be a lot of information about the projects that we're doing and about what the condition is. But this condition means that a person that's born with it, they grow tumours throughout their body on nerve endings. And it can be from relatively minor all the way through to major tumours down their spine, brain tumours, and some of those tumours sometimes turn to cancer.
Yeah, well, hopefully the cure for this disease isn't too far away. We hope that you have a massive day on Wednesday. Is there any other sporting clubs in the Port Melbourne area that you have links with where you do fundraisers as well?
No, not really. It was just that when the idea came up about 4 years ago, I was trying to think of a way to raise money that was just a bit different to everything else. And I thought, this is, okay, what about we hit the football community, given that we've got Peter as our ambassador, and we only had one ambassador at that point. And I came up with this crazy idea, which people said, it's not going to work. Last year, and we sort of started then just coming out of COVID, but we've gone from raising about 150 to 200,000. Last year, we got to about 250. This year, we're hoping to get over 300 so that we can fulfill the $500,000 commitment that we've made for the current research project, which is actually being done through a combination of the Brain Cancer Centre and Peter McCallum.
That's
actually in honour of, we lost our daughter-in-law last year to this disease. She got brain cancer and she only lasted a couple of months.
I'm very sorry to hear about your loss.
Thank you. But before she died, she said, I want to leave a legacy. I don't want everybody else with neurofibromatosis to have this happen. And so that was our promise. We got the researchers to come up with the right project and they said that we'd need $500,000 to get this going. And so that's what our aim is to get that $500,000. We're getting very close.
Well, Anne, I must say, take off my hat to you for what you're doing. Absolutely fantastic job. I just want to quickly mention, for anyone who is listening, jump on the Flicker of Hope website. It's merchandise. The beanies are rippers. I'm going to be buying a beanie, $20. They're absolute rippers on there, pink and black. And yeah, they look fantastic. And we really appreciate you joining us tonight, giving us a bit of an insight of the big day. And yeah, encourage all our listeners to get down, support the day. If you can't get down there, jump on the website, buy a bit of merch or something, $20 for a beanie. It's great value. Great supporters of the Port Melbourne Football Club, obviously Delta Group as well. So it's a great fit as well. And really appreciate you joining us tonight and good luck for Wednesday.
Thanks, Anne.
Thank you so much.
No worries. Anne Petroulis there. Absolutely fantastic interview, Laoshi. Love it. Love her passion. She's doing an absolutely great job.
Yeah, let's hope for it. Anne and the Flicker of Hope that they have the weather's nice and the people that are in the Port Melbourne area at the time, or residents, or even working in the CBD, pop down.
Yeah, pop down for an hour or two. Get down.
And spend a little bit of
people pay $1,000 to hear all them names. Down to Northport and catch up with them for free. That's bloody amazing.
And knowing that 100% of what you spend goes to the researchers. Yeah,
people would go to a president's lunch and drop a grand to hear some of these names. Well, fantastic.
You hear about people dropping $3,400 on Queensland Northern Territory Guernseys that Nathan Buckley wore.
Exactly right. So, great day. Get on down there. Donate what you can. Get a selfie with probably some absolute legends of the game. So, well done to Anne. We really want to, I was really passionate about getting Anne on and chatting about the day. So, well done to her and all the team. Fantastic work by them all. We're going to go to a break now, though. We're going to be back after the break for our second special guest of the evening. And really looking forward to chatting to this man, actually. It's his second club in the VFL, Jake Lohman. He was obviously down at Sandy, and now he's moved up to Brisbane with his brother. So looking forward to chatting to Jake after the break. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM. It's 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC.
The old favourite, My Way, takes an early lead in the celebrating live stakes, followed by High Tea, who's travelling well. Red Julep's is blooming beautifully, followed in behind them by Wind Beneath My Wings. Coming late is the Harley Hurst. Yes, it's the Harley Hurst who's running on. They hit the line. The judges call for the photo in the celebrating live stakes.
Thanks, Brian. When you reach the final finishing line, how would you like to be celebrated? Find out more at turbinbrothers.com.au. Turbin Brothers Funeral. Celebrating lives.
Tobin Brothers Funerals are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome back to VFR Rewind here on 94.1 FM at 3WBC. Now, Laoshi, we're always passionate about country Victoria boys, mate. We always love when we get a good country Victoria boy. And I'll tell you what, Jake Lohman, he's a proud country Victorian. He's obviously moved down to the big sticks to Sandy, and he's even moved into state now, and he's up to Brisbane with his brother. And thought it'd be a great man to get on tonight and have a bit of a chat about his journey, his career up at Brisbane now. And he joins on the line now from the Brisbane Lions Football Club in the VFL. Jake Lohman. Jake, welcome to VFL Rewind, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I really appreciate it. You can take the boy out of Maryborough. You just can't take the Maryborough out of the boy, Brad. So no, I'm excited, mate. Can't wait. Let's get started.
Yeah, g'day, Jake. Laoshi speaking. Let's get started indeed, mate. Sandringham to Brisbane. It's a fair trip. I've noticed you haven't retained that hairstyle from last year.
Yeah, look, the hairstyle, the hairvolution, they call it down at Sandringham Zebras. I had the blonde frock side there for a little bit. What happens when you do your footy finds, you spin a wheel and mine land on shave or peroxide hair, and I went with the peroxide hair. I don't think Batch was too happy with that, but it kept me in the side, so I was pretty happy with that. Loving Brisbane, and I don't have to bleach my hair anymore. The sun up here in the Sunshine State does the rest for it, so now I'm excited to be up in Brisbane.
So what was the deciding factor to leave Sandringham and head up to Brisbane? I know you've got your brother up there, but lifestyle, work, things like that obviously came into consideration as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was something that I thought about a lot, and I obviously deeply thought about and cared, and the decision came down to growth. I felt like I loved my time at Sandringham, and I'd love to get back there at some stage if I don't get drafted, which is still the goal. But I felt like I needed a change. Sometimes in life, I didn't feel stuck, but I felt like I was sort of going through the motions and plateauing instead of growing. So Brisbane was an opportunity that arose, and I felt like I'm all about, putting myself in uncomfortable positions, and that allows you to grow and learn and get better. So I thought that was the next step for me to get drafted and to do that. So that's why I'm up in Brisbane. Obviously, my brother's up here as well, which, it's a dream come true to train with him and be with him. When we sat in the ice baths and the sauna, our first training, just sat back and just said, how good is this? Two boys from Maryborough, a small little country town, and, those are the moments you hold on forever, and that's why I did it. I want to be 50, 55 years old or 60, 65, wherever it may be, down the track, and we can just sit over you know, a few bottles of water and play a bit of chess or something like that and just say, how good is this? You know, how far we've come. So that was my why. If that makes sense.
I love the philosophy. Absolutely phenomenal. It's great to play with your brother. Did you ever play with him back home, or was this like, will this be the first time you get a chance?
So we played. So Kai was only a little fellow. He's about 5'2" always, but he always played up. So in under 12s, we played with each other. In my top age year, he'd be pretty happy because I didn't play a game. I missed a game through interleague, and apparently Kai's play small forward. Back then, but he got moved in the midfield and had his best game of his career. You know, he's short during his footy career, but we won a flag with each other in under-14s at Maryborough as well. So that was pretty amazing. And then we played senior football together at Lake Windery in the Ballarat Football League there, which was exciting. And I think we maybe played about three games possibly that year. And we nearly played against each other the last 2 years, but this didn't happen through injury or playing AFL, so mum's we've saved her from a heart attack, dad from a heart attack, the family. So now we're playing together and we're doing it together.
Now, could I ask you? I'd be rude if I didn't ask you about this one. Now, yesterday we had a rare occurrence with Logan Morris. Tell us what he was eating in between games. Now, I've heard he was eating Macca's. I heard he was eating Subway. Can you confirm or deny? Was he having a bit of the sponsor's product Macca's yesterday?
I actually don't think Logan knows what he ate yesterday, but to be honest, let's just go with... I had lunch with him today, actually, the big man from Werribee. Shout out to Werribee and the community down there. Trent Dennis Lane, he's Western Jets coach. Great coach and great mentor of mine, Brad, TDL. But I reckon he went with the Double Mac Big Burger of some sort. And maybe a few little cheeky nuggets. And I've heard on the grapevine that might have also been a frappe involved as well.
I don't know about that.
Don't hold it to me, but there possibly could have been a frappe for the protein, I think, before he played. So, but yes, can confirm there was a bit of a left field diet before you play footy.
That sounds like Gary Ablett Senior had a quarter chicken and chips for 45 minutes before a game against Hawthorne and went out and kicked eight.
If it works for Gazza, then Logan can do it as well, I'm sure.
Now, Kai, Third VFL club, all aligned clubs. You were at North Melbourne, then Sandringham, now Brisbane. Yep. What is the difference with an interstate VFL club and AFL club?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, obviously, at North, I was a young, fresh 18-year-old just straight out of the GW Rebels and in the what's called now the Coach Talent League. And, you know, as we all are, we're all just trying to figure it out. And I was just trying to figure it out there. And then, obviously, COVID happened and got the opportunity to go to Sandringham Zebra. So North and Sandringham, pretty similar in the terms of the AFL line, where we just train most of the time as just VFL, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And, you know, that's great to build that I guess, camaraderie and bond and teammates, you know, coming together in that sort of environment. But Brisbane, what their, I guess, thing is that their edge is that they have the opportunity. We train with the AFL pretty much full time. You know, that's the environment you're in. You know, you're training the likes of Hugh McCluggage, who's, you know, he's very clean, and Lachie Neal's midfield craft, Jared Lyons' bodywork is incredible. You know, players like that, you're learning off them right next to you. So to be in that standard training, you know, you're going to get better for it, 100%. So that was sort of my pulling card as well, to come up here and test myself with that. But, you know, they're all similar in their own ways. Obviously, AFL line, you know, the AFL players, as expected, you know, take, I guess, the primary positions, and obviously depends on how many injuries and how much availability of the players. That makes sense, probably, compared to a standalone where, you know, you could possibly be the man a bit more and you probably have a bit more of a steadiness in between in terms of every week to week in playing. At an AFL line, you're unsure sometimes, you know what I mean? So that's part of the trade.
Now, a lot of good footballers, VFL and AFL, have come out of Maryborough, but I think Brad and I have found a new cult figure out of Maryborough with you, mate.
Yeah. So I think there's a few of us going around. You got, you know, Jake the Snake and me. You got, you know, Cobra the, you know, Kai the Cobra Kai, you know, whatever he calls himself. I don't even know these days, guys. But no, there's a few of us rolling around. We've had Jakey the Package Stringer, who was born there, and we try to claim Delidio, and we have Troy Chaplin and Jed Adcock, obviously.
Yeah, Stuart Cramery.
John Nichols, Stewie Cramery, good Maryborough Magpie man. you know, the list can go on. Jamie Bond. There's, Matty Aston, there's a fair few. Brendan Traynor could keep going on. We're going on if we have to. Yep. Maryborough is a feeding ground. I think kids should come there and definitely try and pull the boots on for the Maryborough Magpies if they can.
Oh, they definitely need it at the moment, the way the boys going. Now, talking about prestigious schools, St. Patrick's. Now, you're at North Melbourne Football Club. I don't know if you were there when Clarko was there, but I don't think he'd be a big Saint. I think he might have actually went to St. Pat's, but I don't think he'd be a big fan of the Longers. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If you play for St. Pat's, you have to wear a Longer. Is that correct?
You have to wear a Longy, 100%. Part of the tradition.
Amazing.
St. Pat's. The energies and, socks up as well. You have to have the socks up.
Oh, God.
So any of the Paddy boys that are out there, maybe some young ones listening, boys, socks up, long sleeves, just rock it, and everything else will take care of itself. The jumper has the soul.
How good is that? Now, when you went to VFL level, did you request the Longer or no Longer?
Maybe at 18, the puppies weren't fully developed yet. but now I'm 23, I've been able to have a few, big pre-seasons and been to get in the gym and been to get in the lab, so never a long sleeve ever again. No way. Never could do it, mate. Got to get the suns out, intimidate the opponent.
Love it.
Got to look good. You never know where the cameras are, Brad, so... Yeah. Nah, just joking. But I love the short sleeve, but...
Yeah.
Long sleeve always.
Get those arms tanned up and get the baby oil on them and all that sort of stuff.
Little lemon juice in the hair up here, but, God, it's great. So.
Yeah, they wouldn't even know what a long sleeve jumper is up in Brisbane. They wouldn't even issue it to you.
I tell you what, I wake up every day about 6 a.m. and we're pretty lucky we've got a pool in the backyard and it's 20 to 25 degrees already and sun. Melbourne, you got frostbite, you know what I mean? It's different gravy up here, I tell you. That was part, I guess, the pulling card as well,
Yeah.
It was a big decision to come up here in my life. I had great work down at Life Changer Foundation, was a youth preventative mental health organisation co-founded by Trevor Hendy and Scotty Waters. And that was full-time work down in Victoria, but Queensland's sort of still in its fetal growing stage. So it was definitely a big decision to come up here, but the tanning and everything else is pretty good. I tell you, that's free.
That's fantastic, the outside work you're doing as well there. Have you got any of your Lions teammates involved in the mental health fields as well?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I've actually had a few chats with Big O, the big ruckman at Brisbane Lions, Oscar McInerney. He's actually asked about the work and possibly how he can get involved, and he'd love to mentor. So we're really community-focused in terms of, I'm a facilitator, and we can have people from the community come in and actually be in the workshops and I guess aid and assist and pass on some wisdom. And a lot of the boys have loved it and, always ask how it's going and show that they're invested. And I'd love to get Kai in there. I feel like it'd be great for him to learn a few life skills, in his journey. But, they're definitely involved and definitely invested always.
One final question from me. Now you've obviously moved up to Brisbane. I had them as flag favourites. Now, how do you see the Brisbane boys in the VFL and obviously the AFL boys listed going in the back end of the year? Because obviously you got Lyons in there at the moment. He's been absolutely dominating. How do you see the boys bouncing back after the loss to Gold Coast?
Look, it's obviously tough, losing by that much. Especially so early on, we felt like we were playing to our system really well and we're actioning everything that, Hutto and the coaching staff from Lloydie to Scotty had labelled out to do. So that was, a bit frustrating after quarter time, send the rest of the momentum back in their way. Probably that last actually 5 minutes of the quarter. But obviously we just regroup. Obviously helps having experienced players like Jared Lyons and Darren Joyce and people like that. Obviously doesn't help with a few injuries even going down, last night. So that probably means that a few more opportunities will present itself, which is always great, and maybe the magnets might get thrown around too with that happening. So the energy is always great. We've got a lot of talent on our list, so it's going to show up more times than not. I think we've got the cavalry to go all the way and really compete in that top four window. And as VFL is what, 22, 23 teams, I think, something like that. It's a big competition, but it's quite even. So I feel like we're in a great position, and we've had a couple close losses, like 1 point to North and maybe 3 points to Geelong. So it could have easily been sitting at four wins right now, or five wins. But look out for us. We'll be okay. We'll be okay.
Well, Jake, I'll tell you what. Me and Lausche, we've got a few favourite cult figures in the VFL. We've got Braden Crosley. We've got Don Brewer. I think we'll put you up there as well, mate. Absolute ripper. Great chat tonight, mate. Great to see you come from Maryborough all the way up to Brisbane now. And good luck for the back end of the year. And thanks for joining us tonight on VFL Rewind.
Thanks, Jakey.
No worries at all, guys. Thank you very much for having me. Really grateful, and just make sure you keep spreading that number 49 with the blonde hair. I can get that name out there. No worries at all.
No, we'll do that, and we'll catch up when you're in Melbourne, mate.
Sounds like a plan. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate have a good night.
Jakey Lohman, absolute ripper, mate. What a great chat that was. That was one of my favourite interviews, Lausche.
Yeah, no, it's...
We've just got to thank Harrison Briggs, Harrison Biggs, sorry, I'll pronounce that right, at the Brisbane Lions for teeing us up with that. Absolute ripper. Jakey, what a character. Great to see him follow his brother up there, and he's playing well. He's playing good footy as well, so it's great to see.
We get those characters every now and then, Dom Brew and Jakey, and there's a few others, you know.
Love it.
You know, when you get those country boys, it's always a very laid-back sort of atmosphere. Like, remember when we had the former Bendigo and Port Melbourne player, we used to chat to him at Port Brandon Hayes. He was exactly the same.
Yeah, love it. Country boys, they're good blokes, and great to see him doing well at VFA level. We're going to go to a break now, though. We're going to be back for our VFA Legend segment. Second time lucky, Lausche. Let's cross our fingers. The phone gets answered here. I'm hoping, I'm optimistic. Now, Frank Johnson, obviously, is 1980 premiership player for Port Melbourne. Obviously, family illustrious in the VFA. Obviously, Frank Johnson Medal Senior. Obviously, his dad was an absolute legend as well. So, looking forward to chatting to Frank Johnson Jr. after the break. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM at 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Oi!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM at 3WBC. Lausche, it's not often we get a premiership player. We've had a lot of people in our show, but not everyone's a premiership player. And I think it's always great when we get a premiership player on VFA, especially such a memorable grand final. The 1980 VFL grand final is probably one of my favourites personally. Fred Cook, obviously, as you know, I was close with Fred Cook, and he always used to talk about it as probably his favourite because there are a lot of young kids, a lot of older blokes like him. It was a special grand final, and lucky enough on the line, we've got a man who played that day at Junction Oval against the Coburg Footy Club in Frank Johnson. Frank, welcome to VFL Rewind, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks very much, Brett. Thanks for the opportunity to come on and have a chat.
G'day, Frank. Lausche speaking. 1980 grand final, mate. The big stage, Junction Oval against Coburg. What are your memories of the day?
Okay. Just quickly, leading up to it, I remember that Gary Bryce, our coach, arranged for Graham Richmond to come in from, obviously, the Richmond Football Club and have a chat to us during the week. And he really fired the troops up in his address and it was a terrific speech. I think we also had Bob Skilton come in and say a few words. So that was a great lead up to the game. But on the actual day, it's one that we probably were lucky to get away with. I mean, just going back over some of the clippings, I just remember that we from a seasonal point of view, we played very average early in the season, and we were struggling. I think we'd only won, four or five out of the front nine of the home and away. And then about round five or six, Bryce got us all involved in a big meeting at the club, and one of those things where we aired all our grievances and put everything out on the table, and everyone just agreed that it was going to be team first from sort of there on. So from about the middle of the year, we didn't lose another game in 1980. I think we went 11 in a row to win the premiership. We had a really good win against Coburg coming into the grand final. I think we won by about 50 points in the second semi. So whether there was a bit of, you know, whether we thought we were just going to go out there and win on the day, I don't know. But we played very, very averagely for the first three quarters, as everyone knows. I mean, we were 5-15, I think, at quarter time, or three-quarter time, rather. We were about 17 points behind. Coburg kicked the first goal. And, yeah, it looked like they were on their way to a flag. But in true Borough spirit, we clicked. You know, it was a very windy day. Our forwards, you know, their back line did a really good job of holding our forwards. You know, Cookie and Grant O'Reilly and Stevie Allender. And then we had the little blokes, you know, Glenn Evans, Tony Bayer and Paul Goss and Jimmy Christou and, yeah, we couldn't fire for three and a bit quarters, and then it just, you know, one of those things happened. It just snapped, and we kicked six in a row, and you know, we went from being four goals down to winning by two. So
it's it was an amazing day.
It was incredible. It was an amazing day, Brad. Yeah.
Now, a few years ago, we had the great man of Bayer. Obviously, a lover of Bayer, he's an absolute ripper. From Port Melbourne Football Club, and he actually, just a little bit off topic, but he actually mentioned the Graham Richmond speech as one of the most memorable speeches he ever had. So I'm happy you mentioned that, because I always find it fascinating the way you spoke about it, is the way, yeah, he obviously had an impact on people, Graham Richmond. So that's one thing I want to say, but second question I want to ask is, so obviously I think it's probably most people's favourite play of the day is a Bayer on the wing, got a paddock in front of him, kicks the ball up, you know, just up in the air, and Cookie comes from nowhere and dives and takes an amazing mark. Now, where were you on the ground when Cookie was having that shot for goal? Because Fair Dinkum, it looked like it was going out of bounds on the full, and then it just got a gust of wind that just come from nowhere and grabbed it. It was one of the most amazing goals I've ever seen.
And I haven't watched that game a lot over the years. I think on YouTube you can go back and have a look at some of the videos. I have had a couple of peeps at it, and I agree with you. The ball looked essentially out of bounds on the left-hand side, and it ended up going through just inside the right-hand goalpost by the time. It must have gone over the top of the stand, the ball, because the wind just grabbed it. Look, I obviously was standing, you know, probably half-back flank where I sort of played that day, and like everyone else, had my fingers crossed and everything else crossed. But it was typical Cookie, wasn't it? I think he kicked 4-5, so 3-5 up until about that stage. What people don't know is that he'd been violently ill in the club room sort of at half-time. He was crook. He wasn't himself that day. But, look, as he always did, he found a way, Cookie. And, you know, he's one of the guys that I feel really privileged to have played with over the years. He was not only a legend on the ground, he was obviously a legend off it too. And really, you talked about the young blokes a little bit earlier, that's one of his favourite premierships, Fred, and he was terrific with us. He used to really include us in the club and make sure we felt a part of it, just because we were, you know, young guys, and only just in our first or second year. He was very inclusive, and he sort of mentored and sort of fathered almost sort of a lot of us in terms of the footy. So, no, he was a great guy, Fred. What a player, too.
As we know, the old VFA competition was a nice, rough and tough old competition. Who were some of the toughest opponents you came across during your time at Port Melbourne?
Look, I think, you know, it tended to be a team of a competition of four. I mean, obviously, it was Port, Coburg, Preston, Geelong West, and maybe, you know, one or two other years, I think Perrin sort of bobbed up and were quite competitive. So, you know, when you were playing on Coburg, you know, they had the guys like Robert Herbert, who was really quick, very athletic, and, you know, very, very agile. You had Peter Halbert. You had, who were some of the other ones? You had Terry Don't, you played on. Sometimes I would play on the bigger guys. A couple of times, you know, depending on, I mean, I was only 185 in terms of size, but sometimes you find yourself playing on Robert Smith. You know, he was just really, really hard to play against. I remember sitting on Harold Martin out at Preston one day. We were playing out at Cramer Street, and Harold was a bit like Billy Picken, in a sense that he would just talk to you, Harold. And a couple of times he told me, "Hey, listen to you, young bloke. If you go near the ball again, you mightn't go near it again after that." he would just scare the hell out of me, the living daylights. He'd just get in your ear and just warn you, and you'd think to yourself, "Oh God, if I go near the footy, he might give me a crack." As you say, it was rough and tumble back in those days, and you used to win them and wear them, and you know, when he was speared back in those days, he got into the ear a couple of times. So, they were some of the tougher opponents. Geelong West, I played on Joe Radojevic a couple of times. He was a really clever full forward and obviously kicked 100 goals a couple of times. So I found myself playing on him. They're the sort of the types of guys that really tested you. Hughes, I had to play on Merv Hughes down at Werribee one day.
Yeah. That would have been a good opponent. Now, question I've gotten, I think I'm pretty confident in saying this. There's not a person in the Port Melbourne Football Club who has probably had a relationship with our number one and our number two greatest people, with all due respect to Bob Bonnet, in our history of our club, in obviously Frank Johnson Sr. and Fred Cook playing in premiership with him. Now, what was it like growing up, obviously with your dad, an absolute legend of our club, probably the greatest ever, with all due respect to Freddie as well. What was it like with your dad, obviously just being a great to the club? Do you remember going down as a young fella to the Borough, and were you always destined to play for the Borough? Was that always a goal that you wanted to do growing up?
Yeah, it was, Brad. We used to, obviously, my grandmother lived just virtually a drop punt from the ground in Evans Street, where the Northport Hotel is. It was called the old Albion Hotel back in those days. But so Nan lived just down the road, and of course we were down there every weekend, I think, watching Port Melbourne play with the family. Dad would always take us down. And very, very fond and vivid memories of watching Port play a lot of footy. But Dad never sort of pumped his own tyres up. It was funny. We never knew that he was a legend. He never mentioned a lot of it. He didn't tell us what he'd achieved. And, there were some jumpers at home. But there was never a trophy on the wall. There was never, plaques or anything up of, acknowledging his career. He was very humble in that regard. But I do remember when I finished at Carlton under-19s in 1978, I had the opportunity. They approached me and said, "Look, we think you're going to be a handy, reserves player, but we don't think you're going to go on to play senior footy," which was absolutely right. And they offered me the opportunity to go and play. They said, "Look, we can tee you up a spot. We have a relationship with Claremont in Western Australia. We have a relationship with Glenelg in South Australia." They were sort of the line club sort of thing. And or Coburg, indeed, they said to me, "That's our local club, Carlton. We and I said, "No way, no, I'm not going to any of those clubs. The only club I want to go and play for is Port Melbourne." So that was the start of so Dad rang Norm Goss and said, "Norm, can Frank Jr. come down and start having a run?" And it started from there, Brett. So, yeah, I was always destined to play at the Borough. Both Greg and I, my twin brother Greg, captained the under-19s and played some reserves footy there as well. So, yeah, we were both, if we were going to go anywhere, it was always Port.
Got about 2 minutes ago, Frank. I'll fire away my last question, then Brad will have a question probably. Monday competition, how do you see the current Port Melbourne side?
Look, I know that the thing about Port at the moment is, and it has been the same for years, they turn their list over and they have to do it. It's not a case of we just want to do it. They have to do it. The way the football is structured now, with the kids coming through and lists and the number of levels of football that have disappeared, is that they turn their list over so much every year. Like, it can be 50% or more. So it's really hard to get any continuity and any consistency in a team. You talk to the current players and they'll tell you that, the guys that have been able to hang around for a few years, you have to get used to new teammates every year. And that, compared to when I played, that was totally different because, yes, whilst we turned a handful of players over, we had a real core of successful players and strong players and really good players. So this team doesn't get to enjoy that. I know they're so devastated and disappointed with their start in the season. But, look, we won on the weekend, so that's our first one of many. They're well coached. And I know, through Harvey Hooper that I have chats to, they're doing everything they can to turn the season around, and I think you'll see quite a lot more wins this season from here on in. Now that they've sort of found a bit of a formula and they're getting used to how each other play, I reckon that they'll go on and win quite a few more games this year.
Well, Frank, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. Yeah, going through a great career for the Borough, and looking forward to seeing you all down there again at the Borough supporting the club. And thanks you very much for joining us tonight on VFL Rewind.
Thanks, Frank.
As I said, thanks very much for asking me to come on.
No worries. Frank Johnson, absolute ripper. Great man. Does a lot of great things for the Borough, obviously, with the Frank Johnson tribute date. Lashy, that's a wrap. We're in at the end of the show.
No worries. We'll do it again next week.
We'll see you all again next week. You've been listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
It's been a long, hot day and work's hard. Time to relax with a